Hey guys, welcome back to Mindset Managed with me, SR Crawford. Today we're talking about self-care. Now, even through the phone, the mic, the ether that we're speaking to each other right now, I can see that your eyes are rolling. Self-care, self-love, they've kind of become buzzwords. They're very mainstream now. They became really popular really fast. And I think a lot of people think of self-care or self-love as things like pampering yourself, having a bath, doing meditation or things like that. Like, of course, that is a form of self-care. If that's something that you need, then giving that to yourself is obviously in turn caring for yourself. But that is not the only form of self-care, and it should not be your only focus when it comes to self-care. I've done many things about this on my blog, srcrawford.co.uk. You can check that out to find out anything to do with self-care that I've published before. So you can just type in self-care in the search bar and you'll find lots of stuff. But I want to talk today about something very different. Not self-care practices, not things that you can do for self-care, but self-care mindsets, things that you need to bear in mind, keep at the forefront of your mind when you are trying to care for yourself. So firstly, let me just say that I did get this kind of information, this infographic from Pinterest, just like last week. In all honesty, I've been on Pinterest a lot more because of quarantine, lockdown. There's a lot less that I have to do in a day. So naturally, I'm kind of on social media a bit more. I've limited my amount of time on Instagram. I never really go on Twitter unless I'm posting. Sometimes I go on Facebook, but, you know, not really. So Pinterest is actually the one that I use the most. And Pinterest for me feels like it's the okay social media platform because it's not actually about other people. You're not really looking into other people's lives at all. It's just us all sharing inspiration and pretty pictures and, you know, interesting facts and figures. And it's really cool, basically. So if you are somebody who's like not heard of Pinterest, then I really do suggest that you go check it out. And if you are somebody who's on social media a lot and you're like, which one's the best one for me? I personally think that Pinterest doesn't have any harm other than the fact that you can fall down a bit of a wormhole and be scrolling for so long and waste a lot of time. There really isn't that much downfall for me because I've found so many different yoga poses that I've tried from Pinterest. The whole aesthetic of it is just beautiful. Different hairstyles, outfits, you name it, it's on there. And I don't really see the harm of it myself. So here we go. So these are 12 steps to self-care. I don't know if I see it as steps, but we'll go through it and I'll explain as I go. So the first one says, if it feels wrong, don't do it. This one is so important because a lot of us do things either without the awareness that it's wrong, or we feel like something's off, but we do it anyway. We ignore that feeling. And for a lot of people, they would say that that feeling is your gut instinct. It's your intuition. It's that inner part of yourself, your spirit, whatever you want to name it. It's that little inkling that's saying, hey, something's not quite right here. And of course, sometimes, you know, that feeling might not necessarily be right, but ignoring it could lead you to doing something that doesn't feel right. And then obviously you'll beat yourself up afterwards because you've done something that you already felt bad about and you went ahead and did it anyway. So you've got to ask yourself, why are you doing that thing? Is there maybe some more information that you need about this thing in order to feel comfortable about it? If something feels off, just don't do it. And if you regret it later, then you regret it later, but at least you knew that you were following your gut, which goes a long, long way to trusting yourself and having confidence in yourself and respecting your, you know, your mind, your body, your spirit, all of the signals that it's giving you. If you ignore it constantly, then you're not respecting yourself. You're not listening to yourself. You're not trusting yourself, which of course does not come from a place of self-care. Number two is say exactly what you mean. Again, a lot of us say things in riddles, we play games, and I think it comes from this mindset that, well, it comes from a few different places, but it's kind of like trying to win people over or trying to be better than them, or if somebody loved me, then they'd know what I mean without me having to say it. It kind of comes down to that thing where we want people to be mind readers, and that's not fair. If there's something that you want, if there's something that you need, if there's something that you want to communicate, then say exactly what you mean. Don't beat around the bush. Don't shrink or hide yourself. don't puff up and say, you know, things that aren't true. And don't try and assume that that other person can read your mind. Healthy communication breeds healthy connection. It breeds belonging. It's beautiful. So the more that we speak articulately, we say exactly what we mean. Obviously, we don't necessarily know how to say exactly what we're feeling, but at least even saying that to somebody goes a long way. Rather than hiding away from them or saying things in jumbled up sentences that you just don't know, say to somebody, I'm feeling something deep here, something's not quite right, but I'm not sure what it is yet. Even that is speaking true to yourself, saying exactly what you mean, saying what you feel, and communicating actively. Active communication, appropriate communication, healthy communication, honest communication is so beautiful and sadly something that is missing from this world today. Instead, we all speak in riddles and expect people to be able to decipher it. I think instead we just need to say what we feel, say what we mean, say what we want, say what we need, and the right people will love and give that to us. So a part of self-care, a part of self-respect, again, comes down to saying exactly what you mean. Number three is don't be a people pleaser. A lot of us go out of our way to make other people happy. And for me, I've just done a post, it'll come later on in the month, about boundaries. This comes down to trying to fix everybody else's problems, trying to make everybody else happy, trying to be everyone's saviour, trying to be the hero. I've done a lot of deep journaling whilst in lockdown and realised a lot of things about myself from the books that I've read, hence the series, the Finding Clarity series that I've got on my website, again, srcrawford.co.uk, go check it out. I've listed all the books that I've read and the journaling that I've done because it's helped me to see things clearly about myself. And one of the things that I did was I was a people pleaser in that I wanted everyone to be happy. And I thought that to be a good person means that you help everyone no matter what, even at the expense of yourself. And that's not right. That's not right at all. So that's something that I've had to tackle within myself. If you are that kind of person who feels like you have to be everyone's hero, everyone's therapist, everyone's savior, take that burden away. That's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility to fix other people, to manage their struggle. That's on them. It's not your job to make them happy. They have to do that themselves. And that sounds hard, but it's true. We are all responsible for ourselves. That's it. And if you are trying to be a people pleaser, then you are only going to set yourself up to fail because one, you can't please everyone. Two, it's not your job to do so. And three, it leaves a lot less energy and care for yourself. So instead, put yourself first. Yourself should always come first. That is not selfish. That is self-care. Number four is trust your instincts. So again, I've already touched on this one. You are not respecting yourself. You're not caring for yourself. You're not giving to yourself. If you're constantly going against your own instincts, going against your own intuition, going against your own ideas. I, for one, sometimes find it hard to speak up, find it hard to make my own decisions. Instead, I sit on my decisions for a long time or try and get validated for them from other people. But that's wrong. That's codependency. That's not trusting yourself. That's not having any confidence in yourself. So instead, self-care comes down to trusting your instincts and knowing that whether you fail or you succeed, it doesn't matter. It's okay. The important part is to just trust in yourself, trust in that inner workings of your spirit, of your mind, of your soul that is telling you what to do. And if you fall, you fall, but at least you trusted yourself, which goes a long, long way. Number five is to never speak badly about yourself. We all have a tendency to do this. We speak so ill of ourselves so easily, as if it's just okay to hate ourselves, as if it's okay to say you're ugly, to say you're stupid, to call yourself names. But as we know, the saying goes, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But I think that's not true. It might not hurt you so much in the moment, but those name callings stick with you. And when it's a lot of people saying those things, it sticks with you for a long time. And they create these emotional scars within us. So if you are constantly saying bad things about yourself to other people and inside your own head, you are constantly hearing this dialogue of not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. You don't belong here. You're not worthy. And how bad is that? How disgusting is that? You would never say those things constantly to your friend. You would never say those things constantly to a sibling, to your mother. So don't say them things to yourself. You're damaging yourself from the inside out, and other people are damaging you from the outside in. And it just results in a pile of darkness in your emotional well, your emotional garden, whatever you want to call it. And it's just, it's not healthy. It's not caring for yourself. So first, start to be aware and witness that inner dialogue. Become aware of what you're saying about yourself to others and check it. Say, stop. No, I'm cutting that out. That's not true. Number six is to never give up on your dreams. That doesn't take a lot of explanation. Obviously, if you have a dream, you have a lifelong goal, a lifelong purpose or passion, you should pursue it. Obviously, in real life, there's not much we can do when we are faced with setbacks, or, you know, it's a lot harder to just go ahead and do that thing. But that doesn't mean that we should give up on that thing, that thing should stop being something that wakes us up every day. So for me, obviously, I need to make money and, you know, live my life and continue living my life and be happy, whether I'm a published author or not. That can still be my dream. It can still be something that I try to pursue, but it doesn't have to be something that consumes my life. So it's about finding that balance and to never give up on your dreams, no matter how hard reality might seem at the time. Number seven is to don't be afraid to say no. So, of course, again, it comes down to being a people pleaser. It comes down to having no boundaries. You are allowed to say no. And no is a complete sentence. You don't have to explain yourself. Yes, it feels uncomfortable to let people down, but people need to understand that you are not there to please them. You're not there to bend over backwards for them. You're not there to be available to them 24/7. Instead, you need to give to yourself. If something you don't want to do, something that you can't do, something that you don't have the energy to do, then you have every right to honor yourself, to care for yourself and say, sorry, but no thanks. That's all you have to say is sorry, but no thanks. Thank you for your invitation, but I can't right now. It doesn't have to be personal attack on that person, and you don't have to feel bad about it. Give yourself permission to say no. And number eight is, of course, to give yourself permission to say yes. Don't be afraid to say yes. So if there is something that you want to do and you're scared to do it, tell yourself, I'm going to do it. And the fear can come along with me, but I'm going to do this thing anyway. I've had to say that to myself plenty of times with, like, traveling and, you know, going into my relationship with my partner. They're hard things to do and it's scary. And but it's obviously things that I've wanted to say yes to. And if I'd said no, then I would have been depriving myself of great experiences, of love, of growth, all these things. So caring for yourself is saying yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. Number nine is be kind to yourself. That goes without explanation, surely, that we need to be kind to ourselves. We need to give ourselves self-compassion. So if you are somebody who's going around saying hateful things, again, that's going to be hurting you all the time. But instead, if you say, it's okay that we made a mistake, I still love you. It's okay that you failed, I still love you. It's okay that you tried to do this thing and it didn't work out, I still love you. It's okay that you know, got the answer to a question wrong. It's okay that you didn't get on the plane. It's okay that you've put on an extra pound. I still love you. It's like kind of like reparenting yourself, speaking to your inner child and saying you are still worthy no matter what you do. And it's not saying that you excuse the bad things in your life, of course. You need to be held accountable. You need to be responsible for fixing any mistakes. And guilt is a healthy emotion. It's fine. But shame is not. And so kindness comes down to loving yourself and showing that kindness to yourself and being worthy of that kindness no matter what. Number 10 is to let go of what you can't control. This one's a hard one for me, but I think I've definitely come a long way. Anxiety, for me at least, definitely comes down to somebody who needs to be in control all the time. And of course, in life, you can't be in control all the time. And so you get anxious. And it's really took a lot of work for me over the years, but it's definitely something I'm trying to come to terms with a lot more, that life is out of your control and you can control certain things, but things will happen. And the only thing that you really truly can control is how you respond to things, how you react. So when something bad happens, how are you going to handle it? You're the one who decides how you handle it, but you're not the one in control of what happens. So we need to accept a lot of hard truths about control and to not expect that we can control all the time. So caring for yourself comes down to understanding what is controllable and what's not, what should be controlled and what shouldn't, and to get comfortable with the vulnerability and uncomfortable feeling of being out of control. A lot of life's spontaneous, beautiful experiences happen when we don't plan for things. It has happened out of nowhere, And that serendipity breeds a lot of amazing experiences in our life. But if we try to control and predict and perfect everything, then it leaves very little room for those spontaneous moments. So instead, embrace what can and should be controlled and let go of the rest. Number 11 is to stay away from drama and negativity. Whoa, that's a big one. So yes, you are caring for yourself by stepping away from other people's darkness. So many people love gossip. They love to say bad things about other people. They love to just dive into their own drama. That's why, you know, reality TV is so popular. People love drama. And I, for one, have never watched reality TV. I don't like it because it's just nonsense. It doesn't seem important to me. And of course, you know, you can watch it mindlessly, a bit of leisure time, but there's plenty of other shows that you can watch for leisure time and mindless watching instead of something that's just so negative and so wrong. It's people against other people for no reason. And I don't know, that there are people in my life who definitely kind of thrive in drama, or they bring drama into their life, at least that's the way it seems. And as much as they complain, it seems that they kind of enjoy it because they love telling their stories about it. And I have to tell them, I can't listen to this right now, or I don't want to listen to this right now, because it's just, it's not good for me. I don't like it. And it's caring for myself to step away from it, to not let that negativity leak onto me and my life as well. So I definitely think that this is a good one, to stay away from drama and negativity, especially if you need a dose of self-care. And the last one, number 12, is to love. I think this means to love yourself, to love other people, to love projects, to love life. And I think that love is, it's the most complex thing to explain, and everyone will have different kind of profound explanations for it. But the fact that you can say that you love Chinese food, but you can say you love your partner, you can say you love your mum, they're all different forms of love, right? And I think that we need all different kinds of love in our life. We need to love things, we need to love ideas, we need to love people, we need to love material things sometimes, although, you know, a sense of attachment is also good. So yeah, like, love things fearlessly. It takes courage to love. That's what Brené Brown says. And to give yourself the courage, the permission to love something and not be afraid to do so is a form of self-care, because obviously so much of the great things in life come from who and what we love. I love writing, so when I'm writing, I'm really happy. I love reading, so when I'm reading, I'm very happy. I love my partner, so when I'm with him, I'm very happy. Love is choosing happiness. Love is also a choice that we have to make every day. I have to choose to love you. I have to choose love and connection over, you know, arguments or negativity or fear. Love is a way of life. Love is a mindset. Love is a self-kindness. Love is a perspective. And choosing love is a form of self-care, because we can so easily choose fear. We can so easily choose to walk through life with a filter, a darkness, a grayness on everything that we see. But instead, choosing love helps you to slow down and realize and witness and experience and seek beauty, to seek the good things, because the world is full of bad and good, and that balance is important, that balance is needed. But choosing love means that you're choosing joy, and you're choosing courage, and you're choosing growth and experience. And that is a choice that, you know, between the two, I would rather make every day. So that's your 12 steps to self-care, guys. I hope that you took some notes. I've definitely kept that for later reference as well. It's important to care for yourself in practice, whether that be, you know, pampering or going for a run or doing your finances, whatever self-care looks like in each moment, to recognize that self-care has become a mainstream, a buzzword, but it is important. That's why it's so popular. There are different forms of self-care each day. It will differ person to person, moment to moment. And so you need to choose what you need to do for yourself in that moment, to have a list of things that work really well for you, but also to bear in mind the things I've spoke about today, the self-care mindsets, the self-care practices that go into every part of your life. They are perhaps the most important. So take care, guys, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye.